Hi, my name is Sydney, and I love, 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 love friends to lovers tropes.
Hey, I'm Maya. You know where I'm going with this. Enemies to lovers, all Baby. The way. So good.
And welcome to Canonically Incorrect, the podcast where we talk about everything and anything fanfiction. Woo! Welcome to our bonus episode. Holy shit.
We're here.
We're live. Hello. Yeah, our fucking July bonus episode. We've put out...
So this will be the 60th episode.
This will be the 60th fucking episode. Holy shit.
Yeehaw.
You know what? We're getting closer and closer to 69.
I know. And that is my episode. It's weird how that worked out, huh?
I remember just putting that together because you would ask, you're like, is that my episode? And I was like, oh, fucking no. I haven't even put that schedule together. The like furthest I went, I was like, oh, damn. And it's in October, of all things.
I know. Lucky me. It's going to be so good.
In the midst of your
I literally don't know what I'm doing, but I was like, yeah.
You'll figure out the week before.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I do have my August and September episode figured out, so.
Honestly, which is like a really, really big thing for you.
Yeah. I'm not the best at this kind of stuff, okay?
But, I mean, like, at least you have an idea. Like, it's going to be October. It's going to be the 69th episode. You kind of have an idea.
Yeah. We're working on it.
This is also going to be, like, I was thinking about it. We've produced so many episodes in this month alone because of our Patreon. We just put out our first joint bonus episode on Patreon where we talked about Three Sunflowers by Moon Mayhem, which is a Kuro X reader fic that if you're an older listener, if you listen to our first episode, which I still apologize about, Maya talked about Three Sunflowers in that episode, and I've wanted to read it this like whole time, and I finally got around to reading it, and it was very good.
There was a reason. I recommended it.
Yeah.
And also thank you to our Patreon, River, and among our other patrons.
Yeah.
We appreciate you,
and this is just going to be the start of our Patreon. I already have an idea of what I'm going to do for my next solo bonus episode.
Dang.
Hell yeah. So if we're just going to keep rolling with it. So if you'd like to join us and have like a fun time with us, we have a fun time. But I guess another bonus, it's crazy because it's just like one bonus episode after the other.
Yeah.
This is like the free bonus episode that you get. We do debates. We try to do debates every month. Not every month. Holy
Not
shit.
Every
I'm so
month.
Sorry. Whoa. My brain stopped.
We both had to like process that for a second.
Oh my I said God. Every month and I stopped. I was like, that didn't feel right on the lips. What's going
like
on?
Once a year.
We had that idea of like debating like different things in literature and fan fiction and stuff like that.
Like I think our audience is well aware that we have different viewpoints.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of different things.
Yeah. Last time we did Happily Ever After versus Unhappily Ever After, and that was like a mini therapy session.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Yeah,
it was like a mini therapy session where Maya was just like, I'm suddenly learning so many things, and I don't want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really just, wow, I'm more messed up than I thought. Great.
Great, awesome. I will take this with me, and maybe I'll do something with it. Maybe I won't. Which I think you have in your course of reading Gojo Cheating Fix within this last year. I think you really just dived headfirst into it.
It's been fine.
Yeah, we're going to be doing another bonus episode, another bonus debate, where if you hadn't already kind of learned, it's going to be friends to lovers versus enemies to lovers, because those, I feel like, can be in contention. Like, some people, like, love enemies to lovers. Some people, like, hate friends to lovers. I don't know if I know anyone who, like, super hates enemies to lovers. But I do know people who, like, hate friends to lovers. Because they're like, it's boring. And I don't like
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that, like, viscerally hates.
I would say viscerally is a strong word. But, like, they would much rather read, like, an enemies to lovers. Okay. Or, like, a forbidden romance.
Yeah,
than,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
a
yeah.
friends to lovers or something like that.
Okay.
Do you want to start first? Do you want me to start first? I don't remember how we did this last time.
Me neither.
I should have listened to the last episode to figure out what we did, because I was just like, here are my like sloppy notes of like a couple of bullet points about how I feel, and then bada bing, bada boom, here we go.
Yeah, because like We both sort of talked before the episode started, like, we both sort of did research, but also it just turned out to be confirmation bias, so we both kind of stopped doing research.
Yeah.
And, like, if you listen to the last debate episode, this is a very much feelings over facts kind of thing. Oh,
for sure.
Where it's like,
I'm not going, like, so Maya, there's actually 300,000 more friends to lovers fix than enemies to lovers fix on Fanbase. There's, like, none of that.
I would start crying if you started giving me statistics.
If I just started shooting numbers at you.
Yeah, my little brain. You're like,
uncle.
My little brain couldn't handle it.
You're like, I didn't know it was that kind of debate. So everyone who listens to this podcast knows that I am a horribly disgusting, hopeless romantic of every single shape and size. Like, I love love. I want to be in love. I think it's a crime that I'm not currently in love. A lot of things. Just a lot of things are happening all at once. And Friends to Lovers is, like, the romance arc that I can get behind.
Okay.
I saw it best articulated in this Epic Reads blog post. And if you don't know, Epic Reads is, like, a subsidiary of the HarperCollins publishing house. So this was a part of the research that I was doing that just confirmed my bias immensely. The author, who I wish I could find, like, it didn't have an author at all. So if you're the author, kudos to you. I'm so sorry I couldn't find your name anywhere. Reads, too often Friends to Lovers was conflated with the insidious nice guy trope, where that guy you think you're just friends with is secretly hanging around in the hopes that you'll reward him with your affections one day. Jealous and possessive behavior when a new guy enters your life, thinking he's entitled to have you because he's been with you all this time, making you realize your friendship was only ever valued because he thought you might kiss him one day. Absolutely not. But I'm just a girl standing in front of the internet, begging them to reconsider that stigma attached to one of my favorite tropes, because Friends to Lovers isn't about entitlement, possessiveness, or nice guys. It's about realizing that the person you love most is the one that knows you best. It's about that inherent sizzling tension of being genuinely unable to tell if you're flirting or not, because you guys have always been like this. It's how everyone can see it. It's about being afraid of ruining one of the most important relationships with romance, but realizing in the end that romance makes your friendship stronger, not weaker. Thank you so much. That's all I need. Good night.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your closing statement.
I mean, I have other bullet points, but, like, I feel like that was, like, that encompassed, I mean, it was, like, yeah, all it
was,
of it.
It was very well articulated.
Yeah. Like, you. That was just, like, everything about Friends to Lovers, like, even growing up to me, like, I read a lot of, like, I guess in the YA term, like, contemporary novel, where it's, like, people meet each other for the first time or they're friends for a really long time. And I feel like even for me as, like, a normal person, like, that was the fantasy that I always had. Like, that was when I was, like, going through school and stuff, that I was like, oh, maybe one of my friends, like, secretly likes me. And it was just always the fantasy that I carried around. And it's even kind of the way that I go about my dating life, where, like, I would love to be friends with a person before pursuing something more romantic with them, which is, like, a part why, like, dating apps are really difficult for me, because it's just it with the intention of you're gonna be dating, kind of, which I know that you can form a friendship inside of a romantic relationship, but, like, there was just something about, like, little Sydney that was, like, my fantasy. That was, like, everything I wanted. And it's, like, it's basically all I watch with, like, shoujo anime and K-dramas and, like, traditional TV and the contemporary novels that I read. Like, it's all there, and I love it so much, because it's just, like, the most, it's the healthiest, like, romantic trope. To know that somebody has loved you platonically before romantically is, like, everything I've ever dreamed of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I get it.
I
totally understand. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I 100% getting, like, very much in my own dating life, every relationship I've been in, I've been friends with the person beforehand.
Right, right.
That to me is, you've earned my trust, earned my respect.
Right,
now
right.
We're in a comfortable position where I can take it further.
Exactly. Whereas,
yeah, with a stranger, I really don't want to. I raise you.
Okay.
I raise you with enemies to lovers. Here's the thing. Someone, I think, on TikTok pointed this out, and then when I was doing my quote-unquote research, someone else also said it, and I was like, with enemies to lovers, basically, I didn't find an article that had this beautifully written exposé or anything.
I just got lucky. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for myself. with enemies to lovers, it's a thing of the person who ends up falling in love with you is mm-hmm. someone who knows you well enough to right. accept all of your flaws beforehand. Right. Which, in it of itself, every human being is flawed.
Right, right.
All of us are flawed. And I think, especially in my own case with dating, it becomes a thing of just, like, I'm so scared of making mistakes mm-hmm. with people that I either don't know that well or, like, really respect.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a thing of just, like, this person has already seen me at my absolute worst when right. I'm at the pettiest I could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And they accept me even in that stage.
And not only accept you, they love you.
They love me.
Yeah.
Which is, like, huge.
Right.
Which is, I think, a big reason why so many people love enemies to lovers.
Right, right.
I think the to lovers trope, like, obviously reading a fic like that, it's just... Mwah.
Oh, absolutely.
Delicioso, and I think, regardless I think of the content.
We both agree that, like, enemies to friends to lovers, or, like, friends to enemies to lovers is, like, perfect.
Yeah, like frenemies to lovers. That's like the perfect
combination yeah. of everything.
Yeah, we just had to pull them apart for right yeah. now and be like, wait.
But I get it. Like, I get, because like I love soulmate. And I think maybe it was the same fucking TikTok, because everyone loves pointing out my mental illnesses and everyone's mental illnesses with the things that we love to read. That, like, I love soulmate because, like, the idea of, like, there is, like, a destined person for me, like, no matter what. I could do anything in life. Like, I can take as many different paths, and it always leads me back to the one destined person, and, like, they're always tied to me, which, like, can be stressful to some people, but to me is, like, the least stressful thing possible, that I'm just, like, it's this person. Like, this is the I can do absolutely, like, no wrong. I could do anything. I could take any path in life, and it will always lead me back to this person.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. I get the love for an enemies to lovers for, like, the same kind of thing. But I think friends to lovers could be the same, only in the sense that, like, if you're friends with someone for a really long time, they see you in every form imaginable, right?
I don't know that, though.
Okay.
Well, because, like, to what, how close friends-wise mm-hmm. are sure. we talking? Which I think in most cases in fanfiction, it's just, like, not like best friends.
I would say the best ones are, like, best friends, because you have those moments where, like I said in that, like, little thing that I said, you have, like, this is, like, your best friend. This is, like, the person you've known forever, and you don't want to ruin that with romance, right? Like, if it was someone that you weren't really that close with, like, if it wasn't, like, almost an acquaintance or, like, a friend of a friend, like, it wouldn't hold as much tension than if it was, like, your best friend, the person you've spent so much time with, the person that, like, you would rather just be friends with than lose them forever.
Here's the thing. I think uh-huh. for the most part, most of what I have read has been some form of, like, frenemies to lovers.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to be like, yeah, best friends to lovers.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. But also, think about the kinds of characters that I'm attracted to.
Yeah. Which is why we chose
Bakugo Katsuki is, like, towards the top of the list.
Right.
That man has so many enemies to lovers.
Right.
So many.
But even,
and
like...
it's, like, it's got hurt comfort in it most of the time.
Uh-huh.
It's got slow burn.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're looking for. Okay?
I would raise you with, again, I'm not the biggest advocate and fan for slow burn romances, but I'm advocating for everyone here. And I would say that friends to lovers is more of a slow burn, or at least on the same equivalent of slow burn, because you have to have that, you have mm-hmm. to have, like, this established friendship, and you have to, like, if a friends to lovers is done correctly, you already have that, like, extensive showing of them being friends, what makes them friends, before you work in that romantic tension, in order for it to be believable that these two friends have chemistry together at all. And you know, you could even make it slow burnier more, and have, like, one of the friends watch the other have a crush or fall in love, and again, they want nothing more than to make you happy, which you have that angst quality there. And it's just, I think even if they have to swallow their own jealousy and desire to be with that person, they put it to the side which, you know, drags out the slow burn even more. And then the other person realizes that, like, they were actually in love with their friend the whole time and blah, 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 blah. So I think it has just enough of a slow burn aspect as Enemies to Lovers does.
Okay. I am taking a screenwriting class right now.
Okay.
Not because I want to, because I have to.
Okay.
And we just, last week's, actually this week's, like, seminar stuff is all about writing scenes and, like, the mm-hmm. bare-bone basics and that kind of stuff. And the absolute thing every scene must have to make something interesting, mm-hmm. and the only way movies get published is when something has conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Every scene has to have at least one conflict in it, mm-hmm. in order for something to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, we're speaking, like, babies first, we're gonna lay down all the rules, right. We'll learn the exceptions later.
Right.
So we've been talking a lot about that kind of stuff, and I think Enemies to Lovers fits that, because it is conflict every time.
Right.
It is conflict until they get together.
Right.
Even after they get together, most of the time it's like they have even more shit to figure out after that,
because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
they've been enemies for so long.
Right.
Now you gotta learn how to be with one another.
Sure,
be
sure.
Around one another. That's, like, way different. Whereas I feel like with Friends to Lovers, you're telling me that there's ways to lengthen the story.
Yeah.
Which is not bad, but you're inherently creating, like, other, like, enemy negative things to create a story.
What do you mean by enemy negative?
Enemy, comma, negative, not, like, okay. Enemy negative. Like, you're creating scenarios that are, like, either someone becomes an enemy
uh-huh.
of the main character or the love interest, and you're breeding this conflict that maybe didn't have to be there. Granted, I also haven't read many uh-huh. straight-up Friends to Lovers.
Right.
To me, this is from an outsider.
Uh-huh.
Forgive me. It seems like there was no conflict there to begin with, and we're reading a streamlined story of how they got together, which, you know, is what most fanfiction is. But I feel like with Enemies to Lovers, that conflict is already present, and we're mm-hmm. starting off with a story that already has history to it.
I see your point, and I understand your point, and I'll raise you with, I feel like the conflicts of Enemies to Lovers are, like you said, baby's first conflict. And I don't want to downplay the conflict of Enemies to Lovers, but it seems very easy to be like, of course there's a war and they're on different sides of the war, or of course they are working for different things, or of course they just get on each other's nerves, XYZ. Like, the conflict that is present in Friends to Lovers is almost always like a self-to-self conflict. Like, everything, like, the first conflicts that you learn are like person to nature, person with government, person with person or person with self. And I feel like a lot of the times in Friends to Lovers, that conflict is self to self. Like, you are actively fighting yourself and what you believe, which in fact, like, I think is the most relatable, only because, like, I don't know if you've ever had, but, like, I've definitely fallen in love with one of my friends and, like, had to either, like, get over those feelings because it didn't work out and I knew it wasn't going to work out, or you actually have to fight yourself in becoming braver and admitting those truths. And, like, I think that's why I gravitate towards Friends to Lovers, because I relate to them so strongly in the fact that, like, I have fallen in love with my friends before. I have known friends who have fallen in love with other friends before, and the conflict is all within yourself. Like, there's really no external conflict. There might be if you have a fight with your crush, and it's one of those scenes where you're like, oh, where you're like having a fight and your friend doesn't understand why you're being like this, and you have to be like, well, because I'm in love with you. One mm-hmm. of those things where you have a conflict like that, or even if you have a conflict with, like, their significant other, if the friend that you are in love with is in another relationship or is pursuing another relationship, you can definitely have those outside conflicts. But I do think, like, the conflicts that come from Friends to Lovers are almost always self and battling the emotions that you feel, whether they be pursuing the romantic relationship or letting it go, and, like, letting the idea of being with them go. So I understand what you mean by, like, the conflict is already present in Enemies to Lovers. Of course it always is, and that's what makes them, like, intriguing in a sense, but, like, I think Friends to Lovers has just as much of a stake in conflict, but it's a different kind of conflict. It's a conflict inside with your own emotions, which, again, why I feel that they are so relatable.
I understand. Uh-huh. Don't get me wrong. I do. Uh-huh. But I also think it's, at least for enemies to lovers, it's a heightened or a more, God, let's see if I use this word right and if I can say it, exacerbated? Mm-hmm. Is that sure. How you say that word?
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know me, I read cheating fics. I read hurdy stuff to feel emotions.
Yeah.
So with enemies to lovers, there is definitely mental conflict.
Yeah.
There is definitely self on self conflict because it is a thing of, I fucking hate this person.
Right.
Wait, do I actually hate this person or is it something else? Wait, this is weird. Wait, I don't like them. Wait, they're part of, separate organization.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, they stand for everything I don't like. How is this happening? And like, among, a bunch of other things. So I still feel like those things are relevant in enemies to lovers.
Right.
I think at least in our cases, you are always more attracted to things that have an emotional base, an emotional structure. Like,
yeah.
My story is based off of these feelings.
Right.
Whereas me, I'm like, action, please.
I need something going on every single time. I am an iPad baby. Yes. And I need vision. Yeah. I need fun colors in front of me at all times.
I'm like middle of the line Gen Z.
Yeah.
I need things to occupy my brain. I probably have ADHD among other things that I just don't know of. I feel like everything that you said for Friends to Lovers is still prevalent within enemies to lovers. And, it is just, I know this is supposed to be a debate. We both keep saying, no, I see your point.
Yeah.
This is also relevant. Like, we're being very nice about this.
I mean, that's what it is. It's a friendly debate.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, fuck you and your stupid fucking, it's because you're sad all the time and you need to feel it.
Whoa!
I say that to you on a daily basis. That's like nothing new. Shouting out the Patreon episode again, that entire Patreon episode, I was like, yeah, it's because you're sad all the time. Yeah, that's why you relate to YN.
Yeah. It's a little upsetting, but yeah, like that.
That's okay. You know, we all have our own problems. And I see what you mean. And with the internal conflict, and of course, something like war or secret spy or
I'm a sucker for parallels. Okay.
I know you are.
If the external conflict matches the internal conflict.
Uh-huh.
That's good story writing.
Well, if we're going to talk about parallels, I love parallels in Friends to fucking Lovers because the scenes, if I get a parallel that's like they did something like this as a child and then that parallels to something that they're doing as adults with real feelings, like, oh my god,
childhood Friends to Lovers.
Yes. Wow, sorry, I scared my cat with that. Like if I love, and it's like it's so overdone and I do not care, I'll read it over and over and over again, but like when there's a scene of like the child version of like one of them proposing to the other, like as they're like the parents are like, oh my god, so cute, ha ha ha, they're proposing to each other, and then you get the reverse and you get the parallel of like when they're grown up and actually have feelings and are now also proposing to them. That's a parallel that I will never get like a tired of ever.
See, I don't understand.
Ah!
I don't know, but I'm also very much in the mindset of parents pushing weird gender norms onto children seems kind of weird.
See, but like those aren't pushing gender norms in like if the kid is like proposing to the other kid without parent like being like, oh, propose to them or something, like and being like, oh, that's really cute, like it's I think it's different than being like, oh, your son's gonna be a little heartbreaker one day, or like wearing a dress that's just like mommy's number one.
No, I get that, whatever. But I feel like the only time I've seen that kind of stuff is with parental influence.
I mean, like, in real life, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was trying to say, but you weren't understanding.
That's because I'm talking about fan fiction, and in fan fiction, everything's perfect and fine.
Listen, the facts don't care about your feelings.
The facts right. don't care about your fucking feelings, and,
do you know who you just quoted? Oh my god.
You're trying to catch me on something, and you won't. Yeah, I already caught myself on something. Yeah, well.
Dang.
Oh, what was I gonna say? Oh, and, like, of course, what I was saying before was, like, the conflict that comes from, like, enemies to lovers, of course that's gonna be, like, way more dramatic, because something like war, genocide,
you're thinking very large scale. I think misunderstand that a lot of what I
okay
read isn't necessarily like that. Don't right, get me wrong. There's right. stuff like that all the time. There's like right. the villain and pro hero thing, yeah. which I don't normally like. I don't get a kick out of that or anything. Some people super into that. Yeah, good for are. You. I'm glad you found your thing. But in a lot of my case, I'm just thinking like, this person's an asshole, and they uh-huh. really just don't like me, either because, A, I do better than them at certain things, or maybe, like, we have the same goals in life, and uh-huh. for some reason, I'm just doing slightly better.
Okay.
Or maybe I said something to them that they really didn't like, and they right. just fucking hate me for it.
Right. See, like, okay, now we're gonna deep reel into my feelings here. Okay. Those make me so sad. Like, they make me so sad, because, like, it's even happened when I'm watching, like, TV or something, and one person's really mean to the other, that I'm just, like, I know in real life, I would be so sad about that. Like, I wouldn't even be, like, I also hate them. I would just be so sad about it, because I'm such a people person, and I want people to like me, and I think that I'm, like, really nice, and, like, very, a likable person, to the point where, like, if someone was literally, like, oh, I hate you for whatever, I would just be real sad about it. Like, I wouldn't find any, oh, they like me, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, I would just be so sad about it. And it happens whenever I watch, like, television or movies, or I'm reading shit fics or whatever, like, in that kind of scenario where I'm just, like, I'm just sad about it. Like, because I know that in real life, I would be sad about it, of being, like, why do you not like me? Like, what have I done wrong? Oh my god, I don't understand. Which is why I like Friends to Lovers, because there's already a foundation of, like, closeness and trust and affection. So it just makes it easier for my brain to build on that romance. Like, I love the moments when one of the friends looks at the other, which I guess there is a parallel in Enemies to Lovers, where one friend looks at the other friend and they suddenly realize, like, they're looking at them in a new light. Which, again, it can happen in Enemies to Lovers, where they, like, look at them and they're like, oh, do I really hate them? They look really hot, actually. I don't know how I feel. But I like exploring that shift of friends to falling in love with them being kind to each other, I guess. Because I just can't take people being mean to me. Like, that's if we're going real deep into my feelings, like, it would be so sad. I would be so sad.
Which is valid. Yeah. I feel like, definitely in high school, I was very much a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. I wanted everyone to be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted so many friends. I wanted to be surrounded by people.
Right.
I very much have strayed away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I made a lot of bad friends that way.
Sure.
So, sorry, this is turning into a therapy session yet again. but... yeah, I made a bunch of, like, awful, awful friends right. that way. And it was really hard to, like, break out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my senior year of high school, I started to get away from that. And definitely in college now, I've been learning my lesson of,
right,
like,
right.
signs of people that maybe I shouldn't hang out with. Or maybe, mm-hmm. like, just figuring out who I am. And I'm still definitely going through that process. I'm not a people pleaser anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I know the people in my life that I want to impress and I want to make happy. And it's not everyone.
Yeah.
I have learned that I'm not going to please everyone. And mm-hmm. no matter what I do, you know, that's not going to happen. I feel like with the whole, like, people pleasing, blah, 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 I feel like that's where the big divide happens between right. friends and enemies. As you said that, I was like, oh, yeah. This makes so much sense.
It's the same thing. Okay, this is a bit NSFW, so, like, skip a bit. That's why I can't have, I don't like when people degrade me. That's why I can't have people degrade me in bed, because I'm so sad about it. Like, I would be actually so hurt. And that's why I have a praise king. Thank you, goodbye.
I mean, no, that's totally fair. Yeah. And I think, again, for the same reason, that's why I could have a bit of both. I'm not, like, super into either, but both do something for me. So it's like, okay, well, yes and no, but no and yes.
Right, right.
So with not being a people pleaser, it's like there's certain things about my personality that I just know what I'm about.
Right.
And I'm so thankful for those things, and I'm still figuring out the rest of it. So I feel like with enemies to lovers, it is very much a thing of just, like, these two characters know what they're about.
Yeah.
But to a certain extent, they don't know everything about themselves, or they haven't explored everything, or maybe they need to reevaluate, which is perfectly fine. There's plenty of stages in life where maybe you need a change, or maybe you need a breather.
Right.
So with enemies to lovers, it very much is just like a getting to know you type of thing. You're going from someone you absolutely despise and that you only know really one thing about, right, because you hate that person for that one thing, to I'm seeing them in a different light. I'm seeing them as this other person. I'm seeing them for what else they have to offer. And now it's becoming a discovery of who are they really? What can they offer? What can I offer for them? What can we do for each other? And seeing a relationship grow in that dynamic, to me, is way more satisfying than friends to lovers, where the premise is we've known each other for a really long time, so we kind of know everything about one another. Where I think it is this discovery aspect that I just hit on, where I don't know everything about a person. I'm me, myself personally, getting a little, again, therapeutic. I'm a person where I very much get to know people on a very baseline. You people only know the tip of the iceberg for me. That's all I want people to know about me. I had this conversation with a lot of people in the music studio that I'm in at college. We were all having, like, a nice chat out on the grass one day, and suddenly someone was like, yeah, I don't know a lot about you, Maya. And then everyone else took a second and was like, oh, yeah, I don't know a lot about you. You're just, like, fun to be around.
And she's a closed fucking book, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you only know what I want you to know.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that's by design. That's just my personality. I don't outwardly go out of my way to, like, tell everyone everything about my life. I'm not necessarily a closed book. If you ask, I'm going to give you an answer. That answer might be, no, I'm okay, I'll pass.
Right, right.
Who knows? But you won't know unless you ask. And most of the time, here's the thing, people don't ask.
Sure.
Which I'm not, like, trying to make, like, a society statement. I'm just saying, like, as a thing, most people don't ask.
Yeah.
And that's fine by me. I'm not going out of my way to be like, people don't ask me things, please. Right. Like, it's not like that. It's just okay, don't ask, don't tell. I don't feel the need for everyone to know everything about my life all the time. Yeah. So if they don't want to know, I'm not going to put that on their conscience. Simple as that. And again, that I think that comes from my lack of people-pleasing. I don't feel like people need to know these things about
me. Right, right. Yeah, I get that. I just, like, I think when it comes to, like, friends to lovers, I think that there is an aspect of what you, like, you don't think that there is an aspect of, like, learning something new with, like, even you're my friend and I feel like I learn something new about you, like, every other week or something like that, and I feel like that it's still, there's still a change and something new to discover when you go from being friends to being in a relationship, because, like, there is that leap of, like, how do I act now? Are we just gonna act the same? Do I, like, do I hold your hand? I've never done this before. Like, you suddenly have to, like, rethink. Or I guess you don't have to, but, like, I feel like a lot of the times in those types of stories, you start overthinking and you start, you're rethinking. And again, that same thing of, like, what if I lose this person? We're, like, not to shit on enemies to lovers, but, like, I feel like if I had an enemy, I could give no shits about, like, if I lose them in the end, right? And I'd be like, oh, it's just some guy that I met for a couple weeks that got on my nerves. I thought he was hot, whatever. But, like, if it's, like, a friend who I've had forever, like, if this goes south, I'm fucked. Like, not only do I lose, a romantic relationship, but I've lost, like, the best friendship I've ever had. So, like, then having to shift in a way that's just, like, oh, well, I'm your girlfriend now, so I text you more, and I make you feel loved, and I have to do other things than just being your friends. Because, as you know, like, I don't treat you the same as like I would treat a boyfriend or something like that. Like it's very different a way that you have to treat. So you have to like relearn how you work in that relationship with that person from just being friends to now being in a romantic relationship, because they are very different things. Like, you know, even though no matter what anyone says about like, oh, we're just best friends with your romantic partner, but you're not, you treat them differently. Like you, and there's like a whole other set of, you know, in a partnership, like your partner might have like a really bad day and you have to like, you have to be the one to support them. It's not always like 50-50 all the time, but like, you know, and when you're in a partnership, you want to feel, of course, like sometimes you don't feel like you can go to this person or you want to go to this person to burden them or any way, shape or form. But like, you know, when I would feel down or I'm having a bad day, like if I was in a partnership, I would turn to my partner and not like a friend of mine because I have my partner. And like, that's kind of what they're supposed to be there for. So again, I see what you mean by like having to switch from I hated this person and I love this person and what's up. But I feel like there is another, like there, I feel like enemies lovers and friends lovers are the same thing, but just two different fonts. Like there's just separate, like they're just different, but like, but they're the same in some way.
I mean, there's just like minute things.
Yeah.
There's these very, very little things that are core to what they are. Mm-hmm, but I think that's why most people combine the two.
Yeah.
Where it becomes a frenemies to lovers. Like in most of the, like the Kotsky stuff, it's frenemies to lovers. Like,
sure.
The dude doesn't outright fucking hate
you. Right, right, right.
But in some of them he does. And I now that we're talking about it, it's very interesting that it's just like these little things about our personalities that are kind of determining what we read and what we don't, which makes me wonder, like, what is anyone else having like the same results as we are? So I, like, don't get me wrong, I love friends to lovers, I love childhood friends to lovers, frenemies to lovers, enemies to lovers, I love it all.
Yeah,
it's just like for me, enemies to lovers is just a little bit sweeter than friends to lovers is on its own.
Right.
I don't think I have any other points to like bring up and be like, well, this.
I just kind of thought of this while I was talking though. It was like, I was like, what else do I hate? I fucking hate love at first sight.
Yes.
I also
dislike that one.
Oh my god, I hate love at first sight so much, which I think is like this is the inside of our diagram of like what our Venn diagram of like yes, we both equally hate like love at first sight, which is like friends to lovers and enemy to lovers again are slightly tweaked, but like they are like basically like the anti love at first sight.
I wonder why do you hate love
at first sight? I just don't believe in love at first sight.
Okay.
I don't believe love at first sight. I believe in lust at first sight. I definitely believe that you can look at someone and be like, I want to fuck them. I think they're hot and I want to fuck them. I believe that. I do not believe in love at first sight. I don't believe that you can look at someone and be like, that's the love of my fucking life. I don't believe it. Which is why I don't believe it in my fiction either. I don't believe that love at first sight is a thing.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the same for me, where it's just like, absolutely fucking not.
Right.
You don't know a damn thing about me.
I can take so much fantasy and imagination in my literature, but love at first sight's not one of them. You cannot convince me that that's a thing that actually happens.
No, not at all.
No.
I want to hear from someone that does like love at first sight.
Oh, yeah, I would. Because I don't think I've ever met someone who's like, yeah, love at first sight for sure exists. I feel like there's a lot of people who are like, no. I don't think love at first sight actually exists. I think, like, again, lust at first sight absolutely exists. But yeah, like, I feel like what you were saying about, like, there's, you don't know me. How do you know you love me? You don't know anything about me except for what I look like, and that's it.
Yeah.
I also, like you were saying, you're like, ooh, childhood friends to lovers. I do love friends to lovers because I feel like there's something for everyone's preference. Like, we were talking about there's friends to enemies to lovers, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there's friends to lovers. There's childhood friends to lovers. There's, like, college classmates to lovers. There's, like, longtime best friends to lovers. There's, like, getting together when you're younger, getting together after one of them's gone through a breakup, or even, like, a divorce, meeting someone back up, like, meeting back up with someone after years of not seeing each other, and it's, like, no time's passed at all. And I feel like they all, again, have a solid foundation of friendship that truly gives each of those different couples chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, again, there's variety on top of that, where, like, two friends who pine for one another and are afraid to make the same move. Two friends who are just trying, who just make that leap from being friends to lovers. And again, they have no idea how to act. Two friends who make the leap, have it blow up in their face and then are trying to figure out how to go back to being friends again. There's just so many things that you can do.
Yeah, and imagine how many things you can do with enemies to lovers.
Exactly. So, but that's like a point where I feel like when I was like looking up for my confirmation bias, a lot of people, like, I was going on Reddit and stuff because I feel like people are too much honest on Reddit, but, like, sometimes it's for my benefit that people think that Friends to Lovers is, like, boring because it doesn't have that, like, hatred, blah, 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 whatever. But I think it's a strong argument to say that, like, Friends to Lovers has just as much to give as, like, Enemies to Lovers in, or Forbidden Romance. That is just as dynamic and intriguing just for the right person. Like, some people just like a cut and dry, healthy story. Some people don't want all the drama. Some people don't want all the conflict. Like, I know that when I was watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I remember, like, oh, what are their names? Andy Samberg's and Melissa's characters. They
Peralta
just had, like,
and Amy or whatever.
Yeah, thank you. Jake Peralta and Amy Santiago. Their romance, there was no cheating. They never broke up. They just had a very healthy relationship. And that was like a breath of fresh air for me to see. Like, there was nothing. There was nothing. They were just in love with each other the whole time. And I was like, oh my God. And like, that's what I like. Again, like, I don't think it's a bad thing just to want that very cut and dry relationship story. But I feel like sometimes people, it's exciting to see, like, the dark and the dangerous relationships, which is why people like Euphoria, for example. People love Euphoria because it's fucking crazy and wild, and every episode there's something going on, and it's dangerous, and it's very dark tropes in it. But for me, I gravitate towards healthy dynamics, especially as I'm getting older, just because I'm like, ah, I'm okay, you know, I don't want all that. I'm just trying to look for something that I want.
See, I haven't read or watched Euphoria. I have, like, no interest in it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard
anything about it. Like, I literally know nothing about it.
It's wild from start to beginning. Obviously, Rue, who is Zendaya's character, has, like, a drug problem. But then, like, in terms of relationships, there's, like, Cassie and Nate and oh my God, I'm so sorry. What is, Maddie. Maddie and Nate are together, and then they break up, and then Cassie starts sleeping with Nate in the second season, and obviously she's sleeping with her best friend's boyfriend, but then she starts to fall in love with him, and it's like, it's all messy. It's so messy, and obviously it's messier because they're all in high school, and they're supposed to be high schoolers, so they can't process their emotions because they're high schoolers. That just doesn't do anything for me anymore. Like, it just, the conflict and the fighting and the bickering and the, it all just, like, doesn't do anything for me anymore. With, like, something like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, with that, like, very healthy relationship, I was like, that's something I can get behind. That's what I want. Thank you so much for that.
Listen, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
Although it is a show about cops.
Right.
It's great. I love the healthy dynamic stuff, too. I also, I don't know. I believe in, like, manifestation and, like, surrounding yourself with good things, and good things will come to you, and, like, that kind of stuff. I very much like to see drama. I very much don't like to be a part of it, but I like hearing about it and watching it. So, like, I get it.
Right.
But also, yummy, yummy. That's why I read fan fiction, because I can live out being in that drama without actually being in that drama.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying?
That's fair. I just feel like, and maybe it is because I'm getting older, that, like, and obviously I'm not that much older than you, but I feel like just in terms of, like, where I was when I was at your age versus where I am now, like, within the 3 years, I've just, like, am gravitating more towards relationships that are not drama fueled and not conflict. And I just want to see a healthy relationship that is, they don't break up and they fight, but it's totally fine. Like, okay, so the one example that I told you that I pulled that is my favorite example of Friends to Lovers is Cory and Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Never seen
it. I love that show. It's everything. I watched it when I was in high school, just on a whim. I remember I pirated it because I couldn't find it anywhere else. And I don't know what compelled me to watch Boy Meets World, but I watched Boy Meets World, and it's a fantastic show. It's perfect. But Cory and Topanga are the epitome of the friends to lovers trope. They meet when they're in childhood friends to lovers. They meet in, like, elementary, middle school. They're each other's first kiss. you know, again, they're young childhood friends before they ever admit feelings for each other. I think there's like a whole season or two where they're just friends before they even start going into the romance aspect because they're just kids. And then because they grew up with each other, they learn how to navigate the world and their own relationship together. They go through rough times together. They even break up like 3 times, but they end up always coming back to each other because, again, the universe and destiny and like everything, very spiritual that I am. But, you know, even if they went through rough times and they broke up with each other, they still held a mutual respect for each other and a mutual love for each other because their relationship was built off of a friendship. It wasn't built off of a, oh, I thought you were hot. I also thought you were hot. We should date. Like, it was built off of a friendship first and watching the other person be an individual, you know, and because they were like that, they made each other stronger and, you know, they weren't dependent on each other. They had their own individuality and their own independence, and they always had each other's backs. They forgave each other. And above all else, they never stopped believing in each other or believing in their love. And it all started with just like a friendship. And it's just, it's my favorite example of friends to lovers because like, it's the perfect example because it is not perfect all the time. They broke up 3 times. They got married very young, but it was just like, they knew. And they were just like, this is it. This is my person. And they always kind of had that like leading respect and love for each other because they were friends first. If you haven't watched it yet, it's kind of an old show, but honestly, I would still recommend it now because it's so good. It was like when kid shows back in the 90s had like very dark topics. Like there's a whole episode where Sean is helping a girl who's being like physically abused by her father. Or there's an episode where when they're in college, Topanga is being sexually assaulted by one of her college professors to get like a good grade.
Jesus.
And yeah, but the show it's great because like again, it's showing like a healthy boundary and healthy relationship. Like that entire time Topanga, I remember that episode like crystal clear because that episode is like Topanga has this meeting with her professor. He comes on to her. She's already married by this point. Her and Corey are already married. And she comes back, tells Corey, and he's immediately on her side. He doesn't believe her once. He fully believes it. He's ready to like beat the shit out of her college professor. And like, I'm just like, yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Because not only does he respect her as like a person and his wife, but he knows how intelligent she is because he's known her his whole life. And he's just like, she doesn't need to be doing these things for you to get a good grade. Like, she doesn't. But fantastic show. It's on Disney Plus. Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah, I knew it was a Disney show. And I know that they had, like, the Girl Meets World, which is, like,
yeah, Girl Meets World's not good. Please don't watch that show.
I don't know. I think I tried watching Boy Meets World, like, a handful of times. And I just, like, couldn't do it. I think it is just, like, it's an older show. So it's, like...
Yeah.
Harder for me to like
right also the know. First 2 seasons they're just like children being children, like really the romance doesn't start until they're in like high school. So but okay. Even then like they there's like a whole episode when they're in high school where Corey's mom is like, oh, shouldn't you like see other women, maybe you shouldn't just continually be dating Topanga. And not because she doesn't love Topanga, but just because she's like, she knows from like real life that like in reality high school romances don't always work out. And, like, you should, like, be experiencing other people and other things if you want to grow in life. But, like, that entire time, Corey is just like, I know what I want. And I want her. And, like, fuck, dude. If that's not everything I wanted when I was in high school, where I was just like, please, why can't that be me?
But imagine if they fucking hated each other for the first 2 seasons of the show. Imagine.
See, but they, like, kind of had a rivalry. They didn't, like, hate each other, but there was definitely, like, a rivalry there.
Eh, that's a frenemies thing.
Yeah, I know. I get what you mean, but, like, I feel like friends to lovers, there is a base for angst there that is not just, like, hating the other person. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's an incredible base for, like, mutual pining. Like, people who love pining, I feel like that's a friends to lovers kind of thing. Where, like, you know, the last time I had a crush on one of my friends, I think especially for, I didn't even talk about, like, for queer people, like, falling in love with, like, your straight friend or something, or falling in love with someone who you don't, maybe, like, you're like, oh my God, are they gay? Like, do they like girls? Are they this? Like, that's a whole different, like, area that queer people, like, have to go through, like, in a realistic sense, which I think is another part of having, like, realistic fiction. But, like, the last time I had a crush on a friend, It was like heartbreaking because it was like a mutual pining where they were like, they were already in a relationship with another person and you're just like, fuck. And it hurts. Like, it hurts. Like, I feel like you don't need to have like hatred or cheating for like things to hurt, like for literature to hurt you, you know? And even like with the pining aspect, like there's the thought process changing of like, oh, are the compliments they're giving you, do they mean the same as they did before? Or is that friendly touching really just friendly touching anymore? Or, you know, is, you know, and then if they're like a high school situation, like worrying about growing apart because you're separated, if you're going to another college or you're XYZ, someone's moving away or whatever. I just feel like there's a plethora of opportunities for that mutual or singular pining at like very different times. You know, you like them, they don't like you, they like you, you don't like them. You're single, but they're in a relationship and they want to give this a shot, but you're afraid that they will ruin the friendship. And I think when it's done right, Friends to Lovers is breathtaking. It is like anxiety inducing. It's a will they, won't they. It's like, again, like I'm advocating for everyone because I don't like slow burn, but like I get slow burn. I get the idea of slow burn where it is that like anxiety. That's like the high you're chasing before they even like kiss each other. And, you know, I feel like Friends to Lovers comes with all of the tense anxiety of Enemies to Lovers in a different way.
I feel like I don't read fiction like that mm-hmm. because I'm looking for something that is fiction.
Sure.
I'm looking for something that is out of the norm, different, mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. I'll never experience in my life.
Right.
Something I don't have the opportunity to experience. So I'm looking to experience that vicariously through writing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's why most people read in general.
Right.
Either
right.
to gain knowledge or to, you know, whatever, experience something or vividly mm-hmm. imagine something that they otherwise would never think of.
Right.
So it is very hard for me to be like, yes, I want to read a piece of fiction where it's a queer couple where I don't know if they're into queer people and then I get harassed and called the F word.
Right.
You know?
That's too much reality for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a thing, like, we were watching a horror movie a couple weeks ago and it's like, horror movies, yeah, whatever. I talk through them because that's what I do. But it is a thing of just, like, the ones that are realistic are the most terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Blood and gore makes me squeamish, but right. it's not like I'm gonna stay up at night thinking right. about that kind right. of stuff. It's the kidnappings. It's the awful sexual harassment. It's like right. all these other right. things. So hard for me to say. Like,
no, yeah. I can fully agree
Friends
with you
to
on
lovers,
the
but also let's throw in all these other things that you might experience on your day-to-day life
right.
and you're gonna get a little giggle out of it. And so, no.
I get what you mean. Like, I get what you mean in, like, the horror aspect, because, like, when Men came out, I was like, why would I want to watch that?
Yeah.
Why would I want to watch that? I experience it in my daily life. Why would I want to watch that? But, like, for me, especially when it comes to romance, like, I think it's really sad that, like, if there is a romance that I know that I will never, ever, ever, ever have, like, no matter what. To me, that's sad. Like, I know that's, like, an escapism thing to some people, but, like, to me, that's really sad that I'm just, like, again, when we were reading our Patreon episode, Three Sunflowers on our Patreon episode, and I was just, like, these are very nice things that Kuro is saying, but I know that a man will never, ever, ever, ever say these things to me. Like, as much as I love reading them, I know that no man would ever say these things to me because he's written by women. And I kind of take my fiction that way, where it's like, I like my fiction a little realistic because it's just like, that could be me someday. Like, that could be me in a sense of like falling in love with my best friend or finding my happily ever after or getting over an injustice of some sort or like getting through a heartbreak of some sort. Like, that's the kind of fiction that I really like to read, just because I'm like, that is realistic, that I can actually do that someday. And but I'm not trying to discount like what you're saying at all, because I understand. But yeah, to me, it makes me just a little sad to be like, oh, that will never happen to me, and it makes me sad now.
I mean, I don't approach it as like a,
I know, but it's just what my brain does.
This is never gonna happen to me.
I know.
But this is also just for, like, the people at home.
Yeah.
where maybe you don't know what you feel when you read these things because you don't think about fanfiction right. as much as Sydney and I are forced to think about fanfiction. So it, oh my god, it was there and then I'm sorry. Left.
I'm so sorry.
It literally, I saw it like leave.
I saw it walk out the door.
Oh my god.
I just that saw the one awful. Foot.
Yeah. Holy shit. I literally just like watched that leave my brain.
Oh my god.
Yeah, okay. What were we talking about?
Realism in fanfiction. How you don't want to read like a
yeah, like something I don't,
you're like, I don't wanna fucking do that. I have to deal with it in my daily life.
I don't read cheating fix because I'm trying to manifest being cheated on.
I mean, obviously.
I read them because they're entertaining and I like the drama.
Yeah.
I like feeling like that. Well, mm-hmm. not like I don't like feeling sad, okay?
But just to be clear.
Yeah, it very much is just like I guess you could say it's like an adrenaline thing mm-hmm, probably mm-hmm. where it's just like I like this over intense like this just like wash of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
kind of go over my body, regardless of what that kind of feeling is. It could be sadness, it could be anxiety, mm-hmm. it could be like a bunch of different things, but that's why I read these like high intense
right
drama fics that include a bunch of other things, and that's why in my head I create these long fics that are convoluted mm-hmm. in the way that they present themselves and why things have to be in a certain order, this mm-hmm. and this and this, like there's a rhyme and a reason to everything, and Sydney and I, we do it, we read things for different reasons.
Yeah.
Might be generally the same reason, but we do have different aspects to ourselves, so, I don't know. It.
Yeah.
It's weird to be like, yeah.
It is weird, and I know that it's, like, a problem. Like, I'm not saying that it's not a problem that I don't overthink, like, literally every aspect of my life. Like, I can't even read fan fiction without being like, oh, that makes me sad that will literally never happen to me. Like, I know that that's a problem. But just like I said, like, I recognize and I understand that I am, like, a hopeless romantic. Like, hopeless romantic. Like, I love love more than, like, anything in the world. Like, I remember when I went through, like, my very, very abusive relationship when I was very young. When I got out of that relationship and, like, started going to therapy, like, the one takeaway that I got from that is just, like, he might have never loved me, but I know that I loved him, and I'm capable of love, and I know that it's, like, the best feeling in the world, and I am so excited to give that love to someone else someday, which is a wild thing to take from, like, an extremely abusive relationship, but I know who I am. I know who I am at the end of the day, and even though I'm, like, past the age of, like, going to school and meeting someone organically, and it's so hard, and that's why, like, I still do dating apps, because, like, it's just so hard to meet people in real life, like, after you leave school, basically, that I still want that. Like, I still dream of meeting someone and being in their friend group and then falling in love, and I don't know, like, if that's not happening to me in real life right now, I'm at least going to read about it in my literature to be like, one day.
No, I get it. Any other bullet points?
No, that was it. Just sadness.
On your part. I am very interested if anyone listening is active on Twitter or on any social. If you have similar experiences for, like, with either of us, mm-hmm. like, are you a people pleaser? Do you enjoy friends to lovers more than enemies to lovers?
Yeah.
I'm actually very interested to know, like,
yeah,
what.
Because I feel like even though we are different, I feel like we're on the extreme ends of different. Like we both very much understand that we are mentally ill human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think, like, the way normal people would. And they're just like, y'all think about your fanfiction that hard? And you're just like, listen!
Yes. Yes, we do.
But, like, there can even be some people out there who are just like, damn, I don't know. I kind of just like both for whatever reason. However I'm feeling, I don't think about it that hard. And you're like, cool. Very good debate. Thank you so much for the debate, nice, madam.
Quote-unquote debate.
The quote-unquote debate. I don't know. I felt like this was more of a debate than the last debate.
More so.
I think
but
so.
But still, it was very much, well, I see your point, but also, I like this thing.
Also, it was just like, well, actually, I feel sad because of it. So it's just still a lot of feelings. Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fan fiction recommendations, or if you're a fan fiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.